the most wonderful time of the... Oh, shut up, Matt. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your god-awful drive right now. I'm sorry. Matt, Hunter here. Hunter, when was the last time you were outside?
Just like 20 minutes ago to go look at this.
Okay. Someone had to let you out? Good. All right. I'm sorry.
When I came here, there was no snow at all.
No, there wasn't, and it's coming down. It's interesting. I'd say right now, it's hard to gauge because I mean on the roads it's just not. It might have been 3 inches, but it's about an inch maybe because the roads were pretty warm. Mm-hmm. On my porch, it was about 3 inches. So in the one area of my porch was 3 inches. This storm total. And I'll start off by talking about the weather here. The storm total, the thing which is nuts is that it was changing up pretty dramatically. Reminder, when they first said the storm was coming in, they were forecasting somewhere in the area of 2 feet of snow for the metro. Right now, I'm going to just give you a heads up. If you are supposed to head anywhere to the west or southwestern part of the state, do not go. Just put off your trip till probably Friday. And just hold on, because they're going to get – that's where the 2 feet of snow is going to fall. They're going to get hammered over there. We in the metro, we had gotten down to 5 to 9 inches. And I was like, oh, okay, because, I mean, if it's 5 to 9, then with the warmer ground, maybe that'd be like, you know, 2 to 6 or something like that. Nothing that bad. It revised back upwards again – to where the snow now is, it was 3 to 5. I'm going to say in Hopkins it's 3. That's what we got. That's going to, and considering how it's coming out of the sky, there's going to be a pretty wide variance. I mean, it's coming down like a rainstorm right now. 5 to 8 tonight is what they're saying. 1 to 3 tomorrow. So it seems like this storm got front loaded a lot more. I mean, yesterday in the past we were looking at Thursday being the heavy snow day. Right now it's today and tonight, and after that it's just going to be, you know, more nuisance snow, I think, through till Friday evening. But, the 1 to 3 inches is what they're forecasting for tomorrow, and then there's no accumulation totals with either the Thursday night forecast, the Friday forecast, or the Friday evening forecast. So keep you in mind. So if it was 3 inches, 5 to 8, we're going to end up somewhere around 10, 11, 12 inches here in the metro.
Ish.
And it's that wet stuff, too.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, God. Just
a mess.
It is. It is a mess out there. And I do still have my traffic maps loaded in here. I got an accident working. There are not many accidents working. There's not a lot of accidents working in the metro area because the traffic's just not moving that fast. It started at noon. That means, for the most part, when we get into the afternoon drive, we've already been going pretty slow. Give you an idea of the drive times. I was coming down 169 at Bren Londonderry. The sign said to Pioneer Trail, 30 minutes. Pioneer Trail is just down on the – like 5 miles south of that.
Yeah.
30 minutes from basically the crosstown down to Pioneer Trail. So it's going to take you a long time to get home tonight. That is just – that is this the word.
Eric's stuck in it right now.
Where is he? Where is our producer, Eric?
Like, comes from Lakeville. He was on 35W, but left a long time ago.
We're gonna be chiseling his car out of a snowbank. Okay, thank God. Let us know if we have to air vac him out of there. All right, just let us know about that. Just drive carefully. And once again, I want to reiterate this: if you have to go to the west or the southwestern part of the state towards Marshall, Pipestone, anything like that, don't go. Don't go. I mean, they're smart and then they're stupid. And 2 feet of snow plus the wind that they're calling up for, just there is, trust me, there is no meeting that you have to be at that's that important. So just that'd be my suggestion. I would not advise driving anywhere to the west or to the southwestern part of the state today, or even really tomorrow into tomorrow morning. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. That is a pretty red traffic map. That is every road bright red. We have obviously Stein coming up here a little bit later on. We'll get to Stein a little bit. Also, hypocrisy time. I'll get to that. But the kind of the story that's gotten a lot of people's attention today. Two people were found dead this morning by authorities in a Lake Minnetonka area home of prominent businessman Irwin Jacobs, and a close friend and business associate say that the people who died from a murder-suicide, Orono Police Chief Corey Farniak, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, said that the bodies were in a bed along with a gun, which was recovered by officers who responded to Shoreline Drive home of Irwin Jacobs and wife Alexandra shortly after 8:30 a.m. Someone who enters the house routinely called authorities about the deaths, said Farniak, who said the official release of the two people's identities will be made by the Hennepin County Medical Examiner's Office by Thursday. Dennis Matheson, a longtime business associate of Irwin Jacobs and close friend, told the Star Tribune Wednesday afternoon that Irwin had killed his wife and then himself. Matheson, who described himself as a very dear friend of Irwin Jacobs, says he learned of the deaths and that Irwin was responsible while speaking with son Mark Jacobs and a secretary for Irwin Jacobs. The police chief stopped short of describing the case as a murder-suicide, but did say no suspects are being sought and there's no risk to the public safety. Matheson said Alexandra Jacobs, who had been Irwin's wife for 57 years and mother of their five children, had been in a wheelchair for the last year or so and had signs of dementia. Irwin was distraught over the condition. He said he spoke with Irwin Jacobs about 3 days ago. He was upbeat. I talked with his son Mark yesterday, and he talked to both of them. He said Irwin seemed up. The Hennepin County Crime Lab was called to the scene, and it was a hearse and the ambulance service from North Memorial Health, and was told it was not needed. Police also informed dispatch that an attorney for Jacobs arrived at the home. The person who called police in the home stood by for questioning by responding officers. Three or four officers were directed to go through the house to search anyone might be there. Other officers guarded. Police said that the officers were talking to individuals who knew the two people had passed away. So a recognizable name. One time, I think, a partial owner of the Vikings, also partial owner of Grain Belt Beer, if not mistaken, amongst other things. You know, it's a case where we talk about this because of the people involved, that there is a celebrity element of the fact that in the sense being that these are, well, you know, people who are known in the metro, successful business people that live out on Lake Minnetonka and stuff like that, that there is going to be that in level. But once again, let's just, you know, he'd been in a wheelchair for last year, had signs of dementia. Irwin was distraught over her condition. Now, one thing I want to, you know, if I can talk about my personal experience with my father. When my father passed away in February, what had happened was he had had a stroke sometime last fall. He had gone into the hospital around rehabilitation center, around Christmas and had gone back home for a hospice care situation starting in February. And when I went down and visited with my father in January, it was pretty clear the extent of medical care he was going to need at the very least for quite a few months, let alone more than likely for the rest of his life. And you are sitting there, and I'm a human being, and I am sitting there and I am asking myself, I know my dad would not want to be in a case where he was compromised to an extreme extent and in a hospital bed for an extended period of time or in a wheelchair for an extended period of time. It is something which this is a story we are going to, especially as the age of Minnesota gets older, as we have a much larger elderly population, the tremendously difficult discussions and conversations we're going to have when it comes to having a parent, a loved one of something of that nature that is through health concerns just basically there. And nothing else on life support in a bed, not responsive, having dementia, Alzheimer's as well. You know, it's these are difficult things, and I can't – I can say to myself, I am I, in hindsight, as I've looked back at my father, I'm glad things ended as they did. I don't think it would have been good for anyone to have an extended period of time, my father, you know, on a respirator or anything like that. I mean, and it feels like to me my father went out kind of on his own terms. For a lot of people out there, this is a very personal choice, and you get these cases where it's a year, it's 2 years, you're watching dementia take place. These stories like this, I think, are going to become more common. Now, once again, we are hearing this from a friend of the victims. The reality is that, you know, and so we don't quite know. I mean, there might have been some other circumstance here. We, you know, we'll wait. It does not sound like they're looking for any other, you know, suspects. So, yeah, and the fact that this friend offered this up right away would lead me to believe that that would be something that immediately came to mind on a good friend. These are tough things. Have conversations with people. Do you have, you know, and I know that these things, we, you know, these are tough conversations. Have a will, power of attorney, a health care directive. That health care directive is so important. And make sure they're up to date, make sure they're filed legally. And, you know, that's you know, when you have this case, when you have cases like this where you have people who are suffering late in life, you want to make sure that, you know, that, you know, you have the paperwork done in case, you know, like I said, my dad had an health care directive. He did not want to be resuscitated per se. And so, you know, I came to a point where that was, you know, what, it, you know, as opposed to putting him on a respirator. So basically he's in a bed for the rest of his life, you know, unresponsive. That's not something that he wanted. So have those discussions. And like I said, I think we're going to see more of stories like this because these are hard decisions. And unless we get some sort of common sense into our healthcare system, you know, it's these I think are going to become more repetitive, unfortunately. 952-946-6205. Hey, by the way, Eric, I'm glad you made it in today.
Oh yeah,
tough rut drive.
Yeah,
yeah,
about 10 miles an hour the whole way.
Well, I'm glad you made it. Okay, we'll take a break. Come on back. I got to talk about hypocrisy. Stein coming up here in a little bit as well. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is one of the top 10 largest volume Toyota certified pre-owned vehicle dealers in the country. They have the best cars, an amazing selection, and unbelievable pricing. With Rudy Luther Toyota fair value pricing, you'll always get an unbeatable price on every vehicle. They'll give you that fair value price up front with no hassle. Online at Rudy Luther Toyota, or stop by Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
April showers bring May flowers, but who knows what else April weather will bring. Fortunately, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has you covered. Standard's triple savings sale saves you up to $2,300 when you install a new furnace and AC before April 30th. So, find out more about Standard's triple savings sale and how you can save up to $2,300 today at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Comfort you deserve.
Well, that's unpleasant. I have a bubbly water today that's pineapple coconut flavor. What's that suntan lotion? Tropical Sun?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Boy, I sure love drinking it. It's delicious. Mmm, SPF 30. Mmm. Ah, it's the spot. 952-946-6205. By the way, I do want to remind people, Easter coming up here. I know it doesn't look like Easter's going to come up here in too long, but coming up on the 21st of April, it is Easter here in the USA, well, worldwide. Anyway, Easter Brunch Buffet, Park Tavern. Fantastic food, hour of bowling with every reservation. They got reservation seatings from 10 until 3. Go to parktavern.net, get more information. I highly recommend it. It is a great meal, and you'll have a good time at the Park Tavern. Steve is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Steve.
Hi, Matt. I'm glad you feel the way you do about your dad. That's good. I lost my father-in-law 35 years in November, and for the last 5 years, he was basically wasting away in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And to see a bull moose of a guy that never took anything off of anybody do that is by far the hardest thing I've ever had to watch in my life.
I first of all, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to your family. That is a story you hear a lot. Is that it's the pain of having to watch, you know, someone who was strong, vibrant, and then to see them get into a situation that's always tough.
Yeah, I just hope that I have the good sense to do like my own father did. Mm-hmm. He was a musician. And I played his last gig with him 2 weeks before he just hit the wall running with a massive heart attack. Mm. That's the way to do it.
Well, Steve, once again, all my best to your family. Thank you very much for the phone call. I do appreciate it. Those are not easy discussions, and I'll be the first to say that. I posted up on the social media today a lovely little rant. It is a series of the biblical passage. And once again, religious disclaimer, I'm Catholic. You do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm Catholic. And this is something that has been bugging me for a while. It is the fact that most of these Christians, so-called Christians, that support Trump, for them to do so pretty much on any issue, they have to basically ignore an insane amount of the Bible they claim to embody to do so. This whole big thing, and it's a long thing, has just to do with biblical passages that talk about immigrants. And you have the New Testament and Matthew and Luke. You have, Leviticus and Romans. Those are the two chapters of the Bible that the bigots who are Christians who like using the Bible for hate, they like to quote Leviticus and Romans. There's six at least solid, you know, welcomes in there. I like throwing Leviticus and Romans in there because Leviticus is basically glorified camping instructions. Romans is Paul's letters to the Romans, not Jesus. That was Paul. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, story of Jesus. By the way, didn't hate in that group. Loved, cared, impassioned. That was what he did. Then basically comes an entire litany of other passages, Deuteronomy, Exodus, James, the first book of James. There's so many different passages which are just on point about immigrants that if you basically are Christian, that you are ordered by Jesus, New Testament, Old Testament, to care about immigrants. Not shut them out, not say, we're full. No, you're supposed to love them. And so I posted that because I wanted to post out this level of hypocrisy. And then speaking of another Christian thing today, in Texas, they are actually having discussions about the death penalty for women who get an abortion. Any abortion, even if the life of the mother is in jeopardy, and that if the mom dies by giving birth that she'll leave three or four kids that she's already given birth to without a mom. That woman, that if she gets an abortion and she somehow miraculously survives, she could get executed. That is what they're arguing right now. The death penalty for people that get the abortion, which, by the way, once again, just annihilates any argument these people are pro-life. There is no way on the planet you could entertain the idea of killing the mom. I mean, it was a joke from The Birdcage, Nathan Lane, you know, that he put out there. But these people are taking it seriously. You cannot claim to be pro-life if you're then the punishment for a woman who gets one is to kill her too. That's just smiting, and it definitely is not anything Christian. So, hypocrisy. In a completely different realm, there was an interesting story that came to light today. Another Fox News Channel personality is questioning the loyalty of Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar. Fox and Friends host and rectal wart Brian Kilmeade said on a segment on Wednesday about the freshman Democrat, "You have to wonder if she's an American first." Once again, a loyalty pledge. Are you pro-America or anti-America? She's a sitting U.S. Congresswoman. She's pro-America. Here is why I want to bring out the hypocrisy of all of this. Ilhan Omar, a few weeks back, was called out because what she said is, "I am not going to give a loyalty pledge to Israel," which is something for which there's a lot of Republicans that kind of demand that. And she says, "I'm an American. I do not give loyalty pledges to other countries." Her saying that was constituted as anti-Semitic by certain groups, especially far-right groups from the Jewish community, who said that in the past, loyalty pledges have been used as a way of discrimination, not only against the Jews, but also the Italians and the Catholics. The Catholics, the same exact thing. Loyalty pledges. Are you loyal to the Pope in Rome, or are you loyal to the United States? I mean, there's many years people didn't think a Catholic could ever get elected president of the United States because of the questions of their loyalty to the United States. And so this is loyalty pledges was called out because the fact that even though she was referring to herself, the mere fact that she brought up a loyalty pledge was crossing a line. And as I've said, I can't sit here and tell a person whether or not they think that that was crossing a line or anti-Semitic. That's up to the individual. If you think that that's anti-Semitic, the fact that she says, "I'm not going to make a loyalty pledge to Israel," you think that just by bringing up loyalty pledges, that's anti-Semitic and, you know, just wrong, well, then I'm not going to argue with you, because there are some people that is part of the history of their family, for goodness sakes. But here we are. And the shoe is on the other foot. She is being called because she's a Muslim. And because, you know, Muslims, we got to ask if they have a loyalty pledge. No, you don't. This is the same exact thing. And by the way, this is not brand new. I mean, Muslims have been accused of loyalty to America for 25 years. Just as the Catholics were, just as the Jews were. Absolutely. And I will come on out as I think trying to create loyalty pledges for the Jewish people, creating loyalty pledges for the Catholics. I think both of those are wrong. I absolutely think creating a loyalty pledge for a Muslim is just as wrong. And here's where the hypocrisy comes in, because I'm going to be consistent. You should not be putting out loyalty pledges. You shouldn't be doing that. I will be consistent. If you are one of those people who were beat face red screaming about Ilhan Omar and how dare she, and you don't say anything, I'm not talking about screaming or getting mad, but you don't even come out and say, "Wow, Brian Kilmeade should not, that's Brian Kilmeade should not have put a loyalty pledge. That's a crossing the line." April 10th, from here on out, I will go, if you say something like this, I'm going to go check your social media timelines for April 10th. And if at no point did you say, "You know what, if it's wrong for her to do it, it's wrong for it to happen to her as well." If you can't say that, if you can't have the same consistent standards, well, I'm not going to listen to you from here on out. because I have no time for hypocrites. I don't have time for people whose outrage is bipolar, whose outrage is a sliding rule. I have no time for that. And either loyalty pledges are bad, henceforth Brian Kilmeade should be fired, or they're not bad and you just were getting mad at Ilhan Omar because you just wanted to get mad at Ilhan Omar. For me, I don't think anyone should be getting put into loyalty pledges. I'm a proud American. I'll take it as a congresswoman is a proud American, that Jewish Americans are proud Americans, that Catholic Americans are proud Americans. I'll just take it as their word. I don't think it does anything good outside of bigotry and hatred to put that on there. So, ball's in your court. If you are upset about this, then you should show some level of consistency. Quickly, let's get the calls in here. Mark is in Minneapolis. Mark, welcome on. And we've got Jeff Stein coming up here in just a few moments. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Matt. Condolences on your dad, first off.
Thank you, sir.
I want to let everybody know that I just went through this with my mom, having to find an assisted living center for her in a very quick hurry. She was in small town up near St. Cloud. With one choice, I had to put her into that center for a month. And so a lot of folks don't have choices, but I was able to move her down here. And during the course of that month, actually going out and walking through and touring and being heartfelt ashamed at seeing the conditions of some of these centers that call themselves quote-unquote care facilities.
Yes.
I am a proud member of a healthcare union. And I am an elected leader of said union, and to know that some of my members are working in centers of this nature that are being forced to care for too many people with not enough time to care for even the few that they should be caring for, they are piled on with too many people to try to take care of, and that's part of the problem. No staff. Very little staff, and sometimes the staff that are being hired are not qualified.
Well, and Mark,
take your time, folks, and do your homework. There are good facilities in town. There are good facilities that are out there.
And Mark, I do have to step on you because I'm running out of time here. But very good advice from you, Mark, and obviously informed decisions are a good thing. Jim in St. Louis Park, we're going to get you in here right now. Really quick, Jim, go ahead.
Hi, Matt. I'm a big fan of Ilhan Omar. I knocked on hundreds of doors for her, and the whole thing is making me really sick. She's not anti-Semitic, and the problem is that most of the Jewish or a large majority of Jewish people in this country vote Democratic, and the Republicans see this as a place to really to cause a split.
Absolutely. I would agree with that, Jim, and I have to cut you off. No, I mean, Sheldon Adelson was out there just basically trying to do that exactly, and then, of course, Trump makes his anti-Semitic comments out in Las Vegas. No, that there are people that are using this as an agenda. I will say this. There are definitive death threats against Ilhan Omar. There are definitive death threats, and people are getting arrested, thank God. Hate is wrong. Hate is wrong. I mean, is this really this difficult still in this day and age after the last century we went through? Do we still have to go through and actually have to say it? I guess we do. Hate is wrong. Period. Good. I'm done. Stein, when we do come on back, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. March is Auto Show Month at Rudy Luther. This means throughout the month, they'll have great auto show deals on all new Toyotas. My first Toyota love was the RAV4, and it's completely redesigned for 2019, and the new RAV4 Hybrid will be here soon. Remember, buy a new Toyota and get a $250 gift card, trade in a vehicle on a new Toyota and get another $250 gift card. That means a total of $500 in savings. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley, and online at RudyLutherToyota.com.
Do yourself a favor and check out the amazing cuisine of EatLocalMinnesota.com. More than just a website, EatLocalMinnesota.com provides you with the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities. Serving family favorites in Minneapolis since 1964, Milda's Cafe is a great spot for breakfast or lunch. Wake up with their delicious Eggs Benedict or biscuits and gravy and savor their many great lunch options. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Milda serves authentic Finnish pasties. Open weekdays 6 to 3 and now on weekends 8 to 2 on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn. Specializing in Szechuan and Peking cuisine, the Great Wall Chinese Restaurant has been a local favorite since 1981. They offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include the sesame chicken, imperial beef, and Peking duck. The Great Wall Restaurant is located off 45th and France, with takeout available too. More at greatwallrestaurant.us.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Today, chance of rain and snow, high near 38. Tonight, wintry mix, low around 31. And Thursday, windy sleet and rain with a high near 35. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Milda's Cafe. They're a family restaurant with home-cooked breakfast and lunch, fresh omelets, hash browns, and cinnamon caramel rolls, located at 1720 Glenwood Avenue in Minneapolis, just east of Penn. Find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Try the Broasted Chicken, too, by the way. Broasted Chicken over there is sensational. You missed pasties today. They got pasties on Friday for lunch. Fantastic Finnish pasties. Not many places in town make them good. These guys make them fantastic. Stop on by Milda's Cafe, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week, 1720 Glenwood Avenue in Minneapolis, just east of Penn. My poor wife, she actually put all the winter gear away. I made her. I said, you got to go back out and get it. Really quick before we get to Stein, the roads are a mess. The roads are an absolute mess. And we're looking at probably another 8 or so inches in the metro area tonight, overnight. Just give yourself plenty of time. Your afternoon commute is going to take you probably 2 to 3 times longer to get wherever you're going. Just keep that in mind. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He is a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com. Iowa Watch is the exceptional public service show that they run down in Iowa. And, of course, he joins us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where, of course, it's snowing down there or just raining for you guys?
No, and first of all, your wife has lived in Minnesota more than 5 minutes. How do you put away the winter stuff before June?
I think she was just hoping. Because, I mean, we had the biggest blizzard of all time in April last year. We had, 18 inches of snow.
Fair. What? Optimism is fair. No, here we just got about 3/4 to an inch of rain overnight. And as far as the snow is concerned, with all due respect, y'alls can keep it.
Well, you're not getting bad. I've actually told people that if you're supposed to head to the southwestern part of the state or the west, just don't even go. I mean,
That's good advice on a good day.
Yeah.
Just to avoid anything that's near a Dakota. But you did mention, and I'll take this opportunity if I may.
Okay.
Last week on the Iowa Watch radio program, it was a full half hour with the former U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. And he was two-term governor of Iowa, first Democrat to be governor in Iowa for a 30-year period. There were Republicans for 30 full years until he won the seat. And we talked about his concept of public service. That's really the whole program is focused not on the tit for tat of politics, which is fine for us to discuss here, but we're talking about what drove him to a lifetime in public service. And you don't have to be from my state to appreciate the work he did for everyone in the Midwest as Secretary of Agriculture. So iowawatch.org if you want to hear how the only cabinet official to serve the full 8 years of the Obama administration, to hear what drove him to a career in public service. I had a great deal of fun in that conversation.
All right. Well, we of course, have there's a link to the Iowa Watch on anytime we have Jeff on the air. So look on the social media. You can find their Twitter and their Facebook page, and you can always go check them out by all means. The bar hearings. This is interesting on a lot of levels. First of all, the same guy, and I don't think you and I were fooled by this, the same guy who, when he had his confirmation hearing, was insisting, I am not just a watchdog of the White House. I don't report there. I'm independent. I report to the people of the United States. Very quickly in his hearings, it came about that his mentality is dramatically changed, that he basically feels as if his job is to do what the White House tells him. And numerous times in the first day of testimony that he did, he was called on that and he basically didn't back down. And it's like the White House felt like this was a good idea, so we did this. He clearly is – whatever he said during his confirmation hearing was a lie, because right now all he's doing is running interference for Trump.
And what's interesting to me is he's – I don't want to say he's trying to have it both ways, Matt, but it seems to be going a couple of different directions, because at the same time there's testimony to the effect you just cited. He's also saying he hasn't shared the report with the White House. He's not going to consult them with regard to redactions, that instead he consulted Mueller, et cetera. It's hard to believe both. You know what I mean? It's hard to believe that you're operating in your own orbit on this, if you will, narrow issue. I never thought I'd refer to the Mueller report as a narrow issue, but you get the point. Yeah. I mean, how are you taking only your own counsel and that of the special counsel here, but then you're very willing to be a team player in the other ways? I mean, it's a little – it's a bit inconsistent, and it's the reason why. And you know, I'm doing a piece for tomorrow on this. I'm not sure where I'm going to go with it, but Speaker Pelosi today – said she doesn't trust Barr, but she does trust Mueller. Now, that I understand, but I'm almost afraid she just painted herself into a corner. It's one thing to say, I don't trust any summary. I don't trust testimony from the handpicked attorney general of the person who is in essence being investigated. That I'm all fine. It's when she said, I trust Mueller, as opposed to saying, I want to see the report. Because what she's doing is saying, well, this is the only thing, though. And because there are some – if in fact there are some things in the report that some people in her caucus want to pursue but Mueller didn't, you see, there's just a little bit of a it's really difficult. I mean, look what the Progressive Caucus did this week by saying, we don't want to vote for limits. That's going to hurt social programs. And so there went that budget bill. I mean, there are issues there, and I think what she was doing, quite honestly, was sending a signal to her caucus of, we have said consistently we trust Mueller. Therefore, we need to consistently trust Mueller, and if we all read this report and say, doggone, this dog ain't going to hunt anymore, then we need to focus on other things. I'm not sure everybody in her caucus believes that.
Well, I think you, as opposed to – I mean, and I understand what you're saying. I don't know if you can separate Mueller in the report. I don't think you can. I think the Mueller report is Mueller, and because he basically 2 years of his life. And he does know everything that's in the report. And so I think – and he knows unabridged what's in there. I think it's more of a case where – I don't think anyone is buying. I mean, I saw the senator from Maryland absolutely trounce Barr today in regards to this idea of, okay, you're saying you didn't read the report, but then how did you put out a 4-page summary on it? Well, I put out the report. Barr is not stupid. Barr is actually a very intelligent guy, because you can – and I'm not saying that in a complimentary way. He knows how to avoid getting in trouble. Like yesterday when he said, I have talked to White House counsel. He knows that if he goes in there and says, we've never talked to anyone in the White House, that's all of a sudden he's in big trouble. So he has to kind of admit that, yeah, I did talk to two of the lawyers from the Trump administration, but only in an informational capacity. And when, of course, anyone asked him, well, what was that? He wouldn't answer. He'd just say it was informational. That was it. It was nothing about, you know, anything specific. But he's smart enough not to get caught in the traps. But at the same time, no one, you know, no one who's looking at this thing legitimately at this point, because it's just – it's getting worse and worse. And like I said, I mean, when the guy from Maryland went after him, he said, well, Trump's saying he's exonerated. You basically said he's exonerated. Now you're saying you don't really – can't say what's in the report, what the deal is going on.
it's clear, I think, that until we see an unredacted version of the report, I don't think you can take anything that comes from Barr as neutral.
Well, and I don't know that anyone really should have from the start.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I understand the game that's played, and he's supposed to be an independent arbiter, but he was just appointed 5 minutes ago by this president. And so obviously there's a cloud on it. I find it interesting the number of times he said he's consulted with Mueller. And that's not inappropriate, by the way.
No, not at all.
And when he says, I am consulting with Mueller with regard to redactions, that's entirely appropriate as well.
Yes.
But the reason I mentioned Pelosi is because I agree with you. This is going to be called forever the Mueller report, just like it was called the Starr report. Different law, different, but again, the concept is there. And so you can't separate the two except by her, in essence, saying, look, I trust Mueller, therefore I trust his report. I think she's saying to her caucus, there just may not, you know, be anything here, and we have to be prepared to move on if necessary, if we don't find enough in here. And that's the only thing I'm saying, because as they look toward an electoral strategy, going after the president based upon the things that are in the Mueller report only is going to get you so far unless there's something there. And so I'm just wondering how much of it is her painting herself in a corner, or how much of it is her saying to her caucus, as I mentioned a minute ago, we said we trust Mueller. Now we have to trust Mueller.
Well, and I one of the things I agree with you, but I also think this is going to be historically the great decision. We mm-hmm. already know obstruction of justice happened. We already do know that. Barr has already said he doesn't feel a president can commit obstruction of justice. What the Mueller report says might be a completely different story. They might say, oh, he clearly violated and broke the law in obstructing justice here. That being said, there's going to be something there. And the question that's going to always come out is that, say, come November, December, we get the full report leaked. Because I just think at this point, eventually, one way or the other, this report's going to come out into the public. Mm-hmm. And so the report comes on out. And there is that, no, he definitively did obstruction of justice. Pelosi and the Democrats are going to have a very interesting choice. Do you go after him on that with impeachment charges, which is very legitimate? He broke the law. If the report says he broke the law, by all means, you can file impeachment charges against the guy. Mm-hmm. But or do you do what you're kind of implying is like, just let it go and we'll beat him in 2020? Because if all of a sudden Trump does manage to win a second term, Nancy Pelosi will always be known as the person who had him guilty and never went after him. And once again, by the way, falls right in the line with a lot of Democratic leaderships, you know, the grabbing defeat from the jaws of victory. But it will be interesting, because I think that historically is how they'll gauge her.
I think that's a real interesting perspective on it. And you and I have both talked about the fact that Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, at an earlier time, you know, maybe the Democrats should have picked different leadership going forward. So we've talked about that issue. And as far as how she'll be remembered, she's basically saying, look, in order to win in 2020, whether it's at the congressional level or the White House level, there's only so much the House Speaker can do to impact the presidential race other than run the legislative side. They have to look like they're doing something positive for America, as opposed to simply, even though it may have merit, simply trying to take down the president, because he'll play the victim as he has done so many times. And what it comes down to is calendar. All right, let's say right now they start impeachment proceedings. When are those going to be done? I mean, can they even get it done before the election? You know, there's a
side
to this.
There is. I think it's – you can get these done in about 5 months. I think it's something like that they can do it. And so like that's why I was alluding to the end of the year. So at the end of the year, you have time to do it. Whether or not you do it, it remains to be seen. I will say this. The Democrats are not going to look that bad, because let's just face it, the Republicans have been – I mean, how many years of all – you know, as you said, they were – how many years of just whatever we're against Obama, and now they've been given – for 2 years they were given the chance to lead. They couldn't do a damn thing. And now here all of a sudden they're basically just screaming how, you know, it's, you know, Democratic sour grapes. At least the Democrats are passing some bills. We'll have to see the impact there. One thing really quick though about Barr, going back to Barr.
Sure.
This threat to go after the FBI, which once again is coming straight from Trump, which once again I think that kind of gets rid of the facade that Barr is somehow an independent person. He's vowing to go after the FBI, although in look into this spying against Trump, and which then he comes back very quickly and says, I don't know if there was any spying. This all could have been done, I's dotted, T's crossed, and done very legally. But there's spying we're going to look into. That's a little interesting.
That could be nothing more. I mean, yes, you're right about that. That could be nothing more than – imagine at a company where the boss gets all excited about something and it's like, McNeil, look into this. Yes, sir. Yes, chief. Yes, ma'am. I'll do it. And then every week at the staff meeting, McNeil, how are we doing on the investigation? Oh, I'm still working on it, sir. All right. You see to it that you do. And then off they go until the next shiny object hits. Mm-hmm. That may be – it's like, yeah, we'll take a look. We'll get after it, Mr. President. We'll take a look and see. But he then said he's not going to do a full investigation of the Justice Department. Okay, then well, what are you exactly? I mean, I wonder
they're going to go after the FBI. They're going to go after the FBI because Trump has determined the FBI is his public enemy number one.
But how much of it, I wonder. And again, because Barr does have experience in this, I wonder how much of it is just if I tell him I'm looking into it, then maybe at some point there will be a shinier object over here that he'll pay attention to. You know, there's a bit of lip service that I think – you know, I don't know. I'm going with the fact that Barr's reputation may be partisan, but not crackpot.
Well,
or I wonder if maybe some of this is just the I'm working on it, Mr. President.
Barr's grabbing his keys from his jacket and getting ready to jingle him in front of the president. That's nice. I would say go with a hamburger. I'd say go with a hamburger because, you know, especially I don't think Trump can pass up a hamburger. He's got like Wimpy from Popeye cartoons. So, well, kind of shaped.
The last time you made a Wimpy reference on the program.
And he's kind of shaped like Wimpy too. There you go. I've done that. When we come back.
Brought it around.
Yes. Is Jeff Stein going to take over as Department of Homeland Security Secretary? We'll find out. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. News flash about my show. It's now an hour long, running from 7 to 8 a.m. every Monday. The longer time slot will allow for interviews of idealists doing important work in the world. LD 2.0 Radio. Listen every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. My show. It's engaging and real. And it's on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
One of the best parts of spring is the annual Easter Brunch Buffet at the Park Tavern. Enjoy Easter ham and herb-crusted beef, eggs benedict, Atlantic cod, a variety of salads, sides, and desserts. Seatings are at 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday, April 21st, and reservations are recommended. $20.95 for adults, $14.95 for seniors. Kids are $10.95 and 5 and under are free. And don't forget the hour of free bowling with every reservation. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, and at parktavern.net, a great Easter brunch with family is easy at the Park Tavern.
Hey, everybody, this is Paul Metza, host of the Wall of Power Radio Hour, and I want to invite you to help me celebrate the Wall of Power Radio Hour's fifth year on the air with a very special live call-in show Saturday, April 13th at 6 p.m. on AM 950. It's been an honor to be a part of this great organization, and I want to hear from some of you. So tune in Saturday, April 13th, live call-in show, Wall of Power Radio Hour.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop. OP.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us with his usual weekly visit. Jeff, the Department of Homeland Security now needs a new secretary, as Kirstjen Nielsen was basically shown the door. It also sounds like there is also a purge going on at Department of Homeland Security. It seems Stephen Miller is somewhat involved in this, and the reason why is that Trump, I know he blames Obama. He says this is Obama's policy of separating kids at the border. It wasn't. Jeff Sessions announced the zero tolerance policy. Kelly installed it. Kirstjen Nielsen was tasked to put it into place, and it was a disaster. This is Trump's policy, and he seems to feel as if this is his great legacy, and he wants to do more of this, where we've lost thousands of kids. We have no idea where they're at. This is a really dangerous policy under this guise, but this is the far right elements of that White House feel as if this policy is a good thing. I got to believe most Republicans, especially after being shamed on baby cages, don't want anything to – they do not want to see this policy return.
Oh, I imagine not. But again, it's a matter of if you believe some of the backstory reporting, you've got a president who says, I want to do A, B, and C. And when he is told by certain aides or cabinet officials, with all due respect, Mr. President, what you're suggesting is not legal, he then says, in essence, well, I don't care. That's what I want to have done. This is what needs to be done. Get us from point A to point B. I don't care if it's illegal. I don't care if it tramples on the rights of citizens under the Constitution or of any human under the Constitution. That's a difficult situation. So when Secretary Nielsen, I guess secretary through the end of this business day, said, I'm doing what I can under the law, and he says, well, that's not good enough, you really do have a stalemate at that point. And so was she – supposedly she was surprised when she went to the White House for a meeting Sunday that she was going to be asked to resign. Well, we've all known she was twisting in the wind since before Christmas. Mm-hmm. I don't know what led her to think that that meeting would be any different necessarily. But it seems to me that if you work for this White House, you have your resignation letter in your coat pocket at all times for just such a situation.
The White House does seem to be taking the idea of we'd rather ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. And that's kind of actually a theme that you've seen within Republican circles since the Gingrich regime. I think you're exactly right. The way you described it, I think, is perfect. I think the people keep thinking, well, he'll wake up and realize we can't do this, and Trump does not care. He wants – if the law is going to get broke – and I don't – the question here is do you think that there's going to be some level of accountability if it's found he's done something extremely egregious that he knew was illegal, he was told was illegal, he still ordered it, it got done? Or are we looking at Andrew Jackson in the Trail of Tears where the Supreme Court ruled he couldn't do it and he says, well, let's see you stop me? And I don't quite know where we're going to go, because right now Mitch McConnell has zero intent of reining this guy in.
Well, it doesn't serve his purpose. McConnell would rather survive himself and let the president be out on a very weak limb that breaks off underneath his own weight. And so this is the problem. You can't have somebody who is out of touch and just firing off orders on a whim only to change them an hour later and then say that he is directly hands-on involved in some sort of scheme. I mean, there's got to be some pattern of consistency, and the only thing that you have is a pattern of inconsistency in all of this. The short answer is no, I don't think you're going to find him accountable for much. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only accountability and I say this regardless of what is in or not in the Mueller report. The only accountability is going to be by the voters in November of 2020. There's the sense that the nation and the citizens would not necessarily support anything else unless it was something that there's no way the Barr summary would have been able to ignore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not sure there's anything in the report that's going to change people's minds.
Well, but there could be. But you realize there could be something in there that could change people's minds. And that and things turn on a dime like that sometimes.
They do. But don't you think the Mueller people would have said something or leaked something?
Oh, I think they've all been threatened. I think they've all been threatened at this. One quick last thing, just about we got 20 seconds. Isn't it amazing? Yep. I mean, all the people that came in with the Republican Party into that administration, pretty much all of them now are gone. They've all been purged away.
Well, purged, or they feel like it was the get out of jail free card. Some cases, literally, I suppose. But it's an honor to serve when your commander in chief calls, and there may be no greater honor than the day that he says you no longer have the job.
And they're all still damaged goods. Has Spicer even found a job yet? Jeff Stein, once again, all the links a little bit later on. We'll spotlight this one today. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week.
Spicer plows your driveway.
Hunter and Eric up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.